This morning, please take your Bible and open to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I love the Psalms. I hope you do. Often in my lifetime, I have fled to the Psalms and asked for the Lord's help and deliverance and comfort. And in reading the Psalms and in praying through the Psalms, God has helped me numerous times, lifted the burden, helped me to believe that everything was going to be okay, showed me that He was there for me and would never leave or depart. Such great memories I have in the book of Psalms. This one, Psalm 91, is one of several that are favorites of mine. And there's something that's mentioned here that I want to speak with you about this morning. The message, by the way, is entitled God's Secret Place. God's Secret Place. If you would notice Psalm 91, verse 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a great psalm. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the psalms. Thank you in particular for this one that we'll begin with today in our message. As I speak today on this subject about God's secret place, help us, Lord, to listen. Help us to learn. Help us also to apply what we're hearing this morning. All of us go through difficulties and trials and tribulations. All of us will go through times where we don't know for sure how it's ever going to work out or come out at the end. But when we flee to that secret place where we meet with you and where we spend time with you and you counsel us and we listen, we are going to receive the help and the strength and the assurance that we need. So help me today as I speak, Lord. Make this, please, as real as possible to everyone who's listening today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. A story is told of a 3-year-old boy who was awakened one night by a terrifying noise, and this little boy began crying out loudly for his father. His cry was so loud that you could hear it throughout the entire home. His father quickly rushed into the room of his startled son and sat with him on the edge of the bed in the darkness of the room, held his little boy's hand and so forth. And in that darkness of that bedroom, with his father's hand holding his, even though the child could not see his father, But because he could feel his presence, and because he could hear his father's voice, he felt like everything was going to be okay. He told his daddy that, "Now I feel safe because you are present with me and I have nothing to be afraid of." There are times in life for every Christian when we too will feel afraid and we may feel alone. Hopefully during those times we remember to draw as close as possible to our Heavenly Father. When we do that, of course, we're going to sense His presence. When we do that, we're going to hear His voice. When we sense His presence and hear His voice, those fears will begin to flee away. In the message today, I want to speak to you on this very subject. And I call this again God's secret place. And I hope you'll understand it's not so much a place where God goes, it's a place where you go to meet with Him. You go there to meet with God in this secret place. And as you stay there, you might think to yourself right now, "Well, how long do I have to stay? How about until the fear is gone? How about until the assurance comes? How about until you get that sense on the inside from your Heavenly Father who loves you that everything's going to be okay? All the fears and anxieties begin to disappear." That's what you'll find in God's secret place. Did you notice the very first verse in this psalm says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." God is reminding us here that there is a place for you and for me to go secretly and meet with God and recognize again, verse 2, that He's your refuge. And He is your fortress. He is someone you can trust in. He is someone, according to verse 3, who will deliver you from the enemies that you have. Verse 4 mentions the fact that He will cover you with His feathers. Now, we all understand, of course, that God doesn't have feathers. But it's symbolic language to help us to understand, for instance, what a mother hen will do for its baby chicks when a storm is on the horizon and making its way toward the hen house. If they're outside, the mother especially will fan out its wings a little bit and cluck in a certain way that the young chicks come right underneath the mother's wings, and then she folds them down over her young ones and protects them. That's the picture that God's trying to give us here. That when we flee to Him and we hear His gentle voice calling us, we know that He will watch over us and protect us. You notice verse 4 also mentions His truth being our shield and buckler, how important it is for you and I to know His truth and be in His truth on a daily basis. As I go through the outline today, there's just three main thoughts I want to give you, and I may show you some other scriptures along the way. I hope you'll digest this psalm, maybe even later this afternoon, and just go over it again yourself. But let me speak with you this morning about God's secret place and mention three important things for you to remember from the outline today. Number one, God's secret place is a place where you can claim the presence of God. God's secret place is a place where you can claim the presence of God. When we know that God is with us, when we know that God is present, when we know that we can sense His presence with us, it gives us assurance that everything will be all right. Listen to these verses, if you would. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Fear is something that all of us have to face at one time or another. And fear, of course, brings bondage, servitude. God's presence, on the other hand, brings assurance. And assurance brings freedom from that bondage or fear that sometimes the devil brings to us and tries to discourage us with and get us to be in a mindset where we're willing to give up and walk away from all things Christian. God's presence is needed so that we have that assurance to stay in the Christian walk and continue on with our God-given tasks. His assurance is what makes the difference between continuing on many times and giving up. Not only does His presence give us assurance, but His presence at the same time dispels all fear. Fear is something that is not from God. Did you know that? Fear is something that is from the devil. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The fear comes from the devil. By the way, take that word fear and run it up and down as an acrostic. F-E-A-R, false evidence appears real. Don't believe everything you think. Be careful about that. Because the devil likes to bring things into our life to cause us to fear. How many times in the New Testament Gospels did Jesus tell his disciples, fear not? Over and over and over he did, didn't he? By the way, he tells us the same. Luke 12, verse 32 is one example. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. See, God's presence not only gives us assurance, it also drives away fear. It dispels all fear. Much like the light drives away the darkness, even so God's presence drives away the fear. His presence gives us assurance. It dispels all fear. His presence also, by the way, at the same time, inspires hope. Inspires hope. Psalm 119, verse 49 says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Hope is something that every one of us need, again, just to take another step, just to go forward. When you lose hope, you've really lost a great deal. You need to have hope. And God gives us that hope with His presence. As He dispels all fear, He also inspires hope. God's presence inspires hope within us and helps us to carry on in spite of the difficulties that we might be facing. I got to tell you a little bit about what happened on Wednesday with Sarah's surgery. We naturally had discussions with the doctor, as you know, if you've ever gone through surgery. They tell you what to expect and the time period and what he's going to do and all those kind of things. And we had those discussions with our doctor, and we both trust this doctor very, very much. And he laid out everything he was going to do and all the time schedule and all that kind of thing. He said, I want you to know that today you are my only patient. I can take my time, and I don't have anyone else to worry about today. I'm focusing all my attention on you. And I thought, man, that's wonderful. And so we showed up, of course, early. We had to be there by 6:30, and you know all that pre-op stuff and everything goes. It was 8:30 before they took her back. And so they take her back, and I'm thinking, because he told us it's probably about 5 hours, and I brought my laptop along, you know, so I could work on some things. And so I went up to the waiting room. By the way, the 8th floor waiting room in the VA hospital is frigid. I didn't bring my coat, and I wished I would have. Man, it was cold. Anyway, keeps you awake, I guess. You know, and time goes by, and I'm waiting, of course, and working on some things, and I'm periodically praying for the doctor and for Sarah and for all that operation to go well. And then it comes time for lunch, and so I was more than happy to leave the waiting room and head down to the cafeteria and find myself a sandwich and a Gatorade and sat and ate that, you know, and looked around to see if anybody I knew was in the cafeteria, and I didn't see anybody I knew. But we do know a lot of folks who work there, and of course, every once in a while, there's a person who comes in who's there as a patient and so forth. But anyway, we didn't see anybody. I didn't see anybody like that. Sat alone and ate and prayed for Sarah and prayed for the surgery and all that. Regretfully made my way back up to the waiting room that was so cold and sat for some more hours and prayed and worked on my computer. And, you know, 5 hours came and went. Pretty soon 5.5 hours came and went. Pretty soon 6 hours came and went. I don't know about you. I'm starting to get nervous. Because all along, and I know everybody knows this, anytime you have surgery, there's always risks, things that could go wrong, and you just pray that nothing will go wrong. And of course, he's told us that she's the only patient that day, so he's still working on her. I haven't heard anything from him. I haven't heard anything from the nurses. I will back that up. I did get one text saying that everything was going fine hours ago. And so I'm getting a little nervous, and I'm praying a little more seriously that, you know, God would guide him and direct him, and everything would work out fine, and it'd be successful, and nothing tragic would happen. So I say that because I have to be honest, fear was starting to try to creep in. I don't know what the rest of you guys feel about your wife, but I don't want to lose my wife yet. I'd like to have her around for a while. And she's important to me. And so time is going by, and you know, when the things like that are happening, time goes really slow. And the devil plays with your head and with your mind, and all kinds of thoughts were going through my mind, and I'm reminding myself of verses in the Bible and scripture, and of course I'm praying and looking at scripture, and all of a sudden there's a young lady that comes in the room, and she calls out my name, and I look at her, and she said, surgery's all done. Sarah's back in her room. Sarah's out of recovery, heading for a room, because it was supposed to be an outpatient kind of a thing. So the doctor assured us, you'll go home today. So they took her to a room. Well, then automatically I'm thinking, something must have went wrong. Why are they taking to her room? Why are they keeping her overnight? So we make our way to the room, of course, and we get in there, and she's doing fine, all right? But they want to keep her overnight because the surgery was difficult. He came across things that he didn't expect. He wasn't able to do everything that he had planned to do, but he did all that he could and try not to risk doing any more damage than good. And so I'm going to keep her overnight, and we'll hopefully discharge her tomorrow. So boy, was I relieved when I got to see her and give her a hug and give her a kiss and, you know, pray together and things like that. I'm saying all that to say this. The devil knows our buttons to push. The devil knows how to get, and I hope you believe me when I tell you this, the strongest among us, faith-wise, to get us to doubt and have fears and be afraid and be anxious. The devil knows how to do that. The weapon that we have against him is to spend time in God's presence and to meet with him and to talk with him and to read his word so he can speak to our heart. This is what I mean by God's secret place. Nobody else in that waiting room knew what I was going through. Nobody else in that room knew what I was doing when I was talking with the Lord and when I was reading scripture and so forth. Nobody else knew the battle that was going on the inside. But my Heavenly Father knew. And I want you to know he was there with me. And he walked with me through that. And he walked with Sarah through that. And now we are here. And it's almost like, why did you worry? You ever feel that way when it's all done with? And it all came out fine? It's like, you big baby, why were you worrying? Don't you trust me? And I did. I felt bad for worrying. But see, God knows our frame also, doesn't he? And he knows our weaknesses. And he knows what we struggle with. And by the way, I want you to know that. God knows what we struggle with. And that's why we need to spend time in that secret place with him and claim the presence of God. God's secret place is a place where you can claim the presence of God. And as you claim the presence of God, that presence of God will give you assurance. It will dispel all fear. It will inspire hope. Number two, God's secret place is a place also where you can enjoy the protection of God. You can enjoy the protection of God. Would you look with me at Mark chapter 7? Mark chapter 7 and verse 17. Mark chapter 7 and verse 17. In Mark chapter 7, verse 17, it says, "And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without," that means the outside, "entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly," he's talking about foods and things that we eat, you know, "but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats." Verse 20, "And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." I want you to know that in God's secret place, you can have the presence of God, of course, but you can also enjoy the protection of God. And one of the first areas from which we need protection is ourself. From ourself. In other words, protection from the powers within ourself. You notice this scripture talked about, it's not the things from the outside that defile a man, it's the things from the inside. It's all these things that he mentions here, like evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders and thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all those things from within. The powers within. You know, we say it sometimes with a smile on our face, but it is so very true. Our greatest enemy a lot of times is ourself. What's on the inside? Some of the most wicked things in all the world, they come from within the heart of man. No wonder the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Only God can protect us from our own sinful thoughts. Here again, spending time in God's secret place helps you to enjoy the protection of God, protection from the powers within, and then, of course, protection from the powers without or on the outside. Another passage, if you would, look at the Gospel of John, chapter 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, and we're going to start at verse number 11. John 17, verse 11. Notice, please, what the Bible says here. Powers from without or on the outside. "And now," verse 11, "and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I am come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, Let's start over at verse 13. For some odd reason, what my eyes are seeing is not coming out of what my lips are saying. And I apologize for that. "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world," look at this, "but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." In other words, keep them from the evil that's in the world, the powers without. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." God's secret place is a place where you can enjoy the protection of God, first of all, from the powers within, secondly, from the powers without, outside us. In other words, in this world. Do you remember these words in John chapter 10? "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Every one of us appreciate that so very much, don't we? We belong to God, we're in his hand, we're protected. We're protected. He watches over us. He protects us from the powers within. He protects us from the powers without or outside of ourselves, all right? In this world. Let me show you another passage. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're studying Romans on Wednesday night. And we just looked at this last Wednesday. But go there with me again if you would. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Notice all those words are in the past tense. You see it again? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Past tense. And whom he called, them he also justified. Past tense. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now I'm going to read on, but do you understand what that means? You're already glorified. No wonder Ephesians says we're already seated beside him in the heavenly kingdom. We're already there in the mind of God. Nothing's going to happen to you, friend. God's going to take care of you. God's going to protect you. Notice again verse 31 as we read on. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, everything you need. If he gave you his Son, he'll give you everything you need. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? By the way, the answer to all these questions is no. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You understand, friend, that when you are in God's secret place, you are enjoying a place where you can claim the presence of God. That was number one. But number two, in God's secret place, it's a place where you can enjoy the protection of God from the powers within, from the powers without, all right, all around you in this world, even from the powers beneath. You know who would really like to destroy you? The devil. Satan and his forces would love to destroy you, but you know, they cannot because of God's protection. Anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Thank God for that protection. God's secret place is a place where you can claim the presence of God. Secondly, it's a place where you can enjoy the protection of God. And third and finally today, God's secret place is a place where you can discern the purpose of God. You can discern the purpose of God. When I was in that waiting room and the surgery was taking so long and I was getting nervous, and I was really hoping and praying that nothing happened to my wife, Sarah. One of the things I thought about was this. What if the Lord should choose to take her home to heaven from that operating table? And I had a little conversation with the Lord, and I said, well, Lord, if that's what you want to do, I'm willing to accept that. I don't want that to happen, but I'll do my best to accept it if it does happen. Isn't it true that there are things that happen in our life that we wouldn't choose to happen? I'm saying things just like that. Now, of course, she didn't, and I'm glad. But I remember when I was in my previous church, the one previous to this, I've done this so many times, going with someone to the hospital and praying that their surgery the next day will work well and go well. And they come through it with flying colors. I'm thinking of a man right now that I did the same thing with him, and I prayed with him and read scripture with him. The surgery was next day, early in the morning. And I said to him, I said, brother, I'll see you on the other side. Not knowing that during that surgery, he would die and God would take him home to heaven. And I said, Lord, that's not what I meant. I'll see you on the other side, like as in heaven. But see, it was God's choice to take this gentleman home. I'm saying again, things like that happen in life, don't they? Or you lose a loved one unexpectedly, or you know, somebody is killed in a car accident, or something like is happening with Rick and Pam's granddaughter happens. I mean, there are plenty of things in life that happen that we wouldn't choose. But friend, God has a purpose for everything. God has a purpose, even in things that we don't understand and we wonder why. God has a purpose and a plan. God has a purpose, of course, for those who are unsaved. He wants them to come to faith in Christ. He wants them to turn away from their unbelief and turn to the Lord and ask Him to save them. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God's purpose in sending His Son to die on the cross was so that the world could have a Savior and ultimately spend eternity in heaven with Him. He has a purpose also for you and I who are saved. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a plan, and He's working that plan, and He wants to use us to be a testimony and a witness to the world by way of our good works. None of us would choose what's happening in Blair's life. None of us would choose for Nick and Jenny to have to go through that, and Rick and Pam and others to have to go through that. None of us would choose that. But I do believe that God has a purpose. Pastor, what is that purpose? I'm ashamed to tell you, I don't know. God hasn't told me. And as far as I know, He hasn't told Rick or Pam or Nick or Jenny. But so far, they're all submitting themselves to God's will and God's purpose for that little girl. You see, God's purpose for the saved is different than the unsaved. God wants the unsaved to get saved. But God's purpose for the saved sometimes is so intricate and detailed, and He doesn't always tell us right away what He's doing, which is where faith comes in, as we trust Him day by day to lead us and guide us through that purpose and plan for our life. By the way, God also has a purpose for His church, like, for instance, Stoughton Baptist Church. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God's purpose for us as a body of believers is to win the lost to Christ, get them baptized, and teach them the Word of God. That's God's purpose for us. Reaching out to the world, trying to show them the gospel. Once they get saved, baptize them, and then teach them the life-changing truths of God's Word. So when you're in God's secret place, number one, you can claim the presence of God. Number two, you can enjoy the protection of God. And number three, in God's secret place, you can discern the purpose of God. A missionary by the name of Harold Morris was engaged in a speaking tour in the United States when he heard that his mission field was being attacked by the communists. Upon hearing of this frightening news, many of the people suggested to him that he remain in the United States rather than return to his mission field. This veteran missionary stood before a large crowd in Little Rock, Arkansas, and humbly proclaimed, "I must go back, for I will be much safer under the attack of the communists while in the will of God than I would be here in America outside of the will of God." That truth that Harold Morris spoke is a truth that each one of us must learn to practice in our life as well. How did he have that confidence and assurance? By spending time in God's secret place. He had learned that while you and I cannot hide from God, we can hide in God. No matter what happens, learn to go to the secret place, especially when the most difficult things of life happen. That's where you're going to find your help. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for this wonderful truth that we talked about today. I want to thank you for the numerous times in my life that I have, as I mentioned when we started, I've fled to the Psalms. I've read, I've prayed until the relief comes, until the answer comes, until the comfort comes. It's spending time with you in the secret place. Oh God, help us all to learn to do this. I'm sure that there's individuals here that have already learned this, but maybe there's others that haven't. May this be a common practice for each one of us, to run to God's secret place. It's that place, wherever it is, where we meet with God and receive His presence. We receive also His protection, and we receive His purpose. Bless each one with what we've heard today, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.